This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio talking to you about realharmony.org. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the homosexual marriage issue. This is, in fact, church, a gospel issue. We must be salt, a preservative. We have to be light on this issue of homosexual marriage, and we do that at realharmony.org.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio, and you guys, it is so important that you pray for a burden for the people in the homosexual community. Then go to realharmony.org and check out the resources we provide to equip Christians on this issue.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The culture has a universal symbol that recognizes homosexual gay marriage. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that you look at and say, that's harmonious, real, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org. Buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy and buy the truckloads. We have a goal of selling 1 million of them and getting this out to the culture. Church, jump on it. Realharmony.org.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say
the same idea.
I would say
same
that.
End.
I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Of an amazing adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to Apologia Radio. This is your host, Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church in Tempe. You can catch us at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, in case you're traveling. Doing a lot of traveling to get to us. East of rural Guadalupe in Tempe, Arizona. That's on Sunday. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Again, I'm your host, Jeff Durbin. That's your other host over there, Luke Pearson, and then Joy Tempe. What's up, y'all?
What up?
Not much.
All right. Hey, Luke, let's just get right into it.
Let's do it.
No fighting, no resistance. Let's go right to it. Today, we're going to talk about some current event stuff, the Oklahoma tragedy. We're going to talk about maybe some sanctification issues, maybe take some phone calls, commentary, a bunch of stuff, and prank phone calls. That's right. So stay tuned. Prank phone calls this episode. We're going to call, have a little competition. We're going to see who can get through the most questions asked of a Christian bookstore without being hung up on, found out, or whatever.
We'll see who wins.
I just took a swig of yerba mate for all you Buenos Aires peeps, and we got lots of fans. We got a whole following. They're there. Mm-hmm. Trust me. But we actually do have people. Okay. Anyway, and I had some yerba just go down my windpipe there. Hey, Luke, can you get us some comments and let us know what people think about us?
You really want to know what people think about you?
Oh, I guess so. Maybe leave out the bad ones.
Not your opinion, Luke.
No.
Oh.
Okay, so just so you know, as Luke's pulling it up, you can go to iTunes. You can subscribe to Apologia Radio on iTunes. Get all the back episodes for free. For free, because that's how we do, baby boo.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. I want to apologize. To all of our listeners.
We've already offended so many people.
All right.
Have you ever
I've never
used
said
that phrase
that.
Ever
Never
before.
Just happened. Just was right there on tip of my
I
tongue.
I don't really believe you, but that's okay.
All right. So, Luke, what are our comments? People can, on iTunes, they can tell us what they think about us. So what?
Yeah, before I get to those, I wanted to share a really cool beard story.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a fan of our show hit up myself and Jeff on Facebook, and she makes home products like soaps and stuff like that at home, hence the name Home Products. And she's working on a beard salve, and she's going to name it Delicious Beard after our show.
Yes, and if that takes off, every time we walk into a store, we'll know that was us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was us.
So I'm going to ask her if she can use my silhouette for the
ooh, that would be good. That would be very, very good.
And I'm going to ask her if she can make Spirit Beard salve.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is.
Salve, not
work.
Salve.
I see. We're having a debate about this. Maybe you guys can join in the debate here online. I say salve, beard salve, and they say it's what are you saying
salve.
Now? That's just ridiculous.
Salve.
It's not salve. It's salve.
All right,
it's okay. French. I just made it up.
Since we're talking about this, Jeff, how do you say the word ancient?
The word ancient?
Yeah, that's the one. It's not ancient.
Ancient.
Ancient. It's ancient.
No, it's ancient.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I'm sure there's people that
ancient.
Listen to our show regularly and have ancient. Heard you say ancient. And
that's
like,
what I just said.
Yeah, that's not how you
anxious.
Say it.
Ancient.
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 Anxious.
Ancient.
Ancient.
That's what I said.
No.
All right, comments.
Okay,
comments,
we're
comments.
Way off track.
All right.
I think we have 38 five-star ratings now.
Okay.
Which is awesome. So I think we left off with this one. If I already read this one, please tell me and I'll just go on. So it says a beardtastic show. Did we read this one?
I don't know, but I like that. Okay. You can say it again.
But a beardtastic show by DJ V Diddy. Nice name.
Nice. Mm.
Finally, a show that isn't afraid to confront tough real-world issues with sound biblical explanations. Personally, I'm incredibly grateful for running across this broadcast. God is totally using it to sanctify and grow me closer to himself. Praise God for all the hard work and dedication these guys and girl put in. Oh, and beards are a serious matter on this show. Unfortunately, I had to find out the hard way by getting called out. LOL.
Nice. Mm. LOL. Efficient. LOL. That's the efficiency of the Puritan efficiency right there. Mm-hmm. LOL. Don't even say the word. Yep. LOL.
Yes. Next one. One of the best sound doctrine and gospel proclamation by RUL8AGN. Not sure how you're supposed to pronounce that. Anyways, these guys and girl, this is like becoming a theme. It's like these guys and girl in parentheses are fun yet solid. One of my must-listen podcasts, along with White Horse in Fighting for the Faith, The Dividing Line, Mortification of Spin, Reformed Cast, and No Compromise Radio. Highly recommended. Check them out.
Right on.
And finally,
this is good. I like being in the same mix of Dividing Line and White Horse in.
Yes.
I like that. Except we're a little different than them.
A little. Yes.
I don't think that Dr. White has any prank phone calls on Dividing Line.
I don't think he ever.
Can you imagine Dr. White?
I don't think he ever said baby boo on his show.
Can you imagine Dr. White like talking about Ergen Kaner or whatever, and then all of a sudden he goes, okay, now time for phone calls. He just calls in.
I'm pretty sure if Dr. White listened to our show, he'd be like throwing his bow tie on the ground.
That man has got some crazy bow ties.
Yes.
Seriously.
Last one, Greatness by KWeb08. I believe I know who this one is. A fan of ours in Ohio. She says, you guys are inspiring me to take steps towards to become bolder in my faith and sharing that with others.
All right. See, that's Amen. What I like to hear. Praise there you God. Go. So with that, let me just throw in here into the mix with the comments that have come. If you guys are fans of this show, you guys are followers of the show, you guys know the dramatic impact this show is having. It's not to any of our fame or claim. It's really to the glory of God and to the boast of God alone. And I mean that. But this show is really making marks across the world. We have comments constantly coming to us from around the world. Words of encouragement, by the way, which were so helpful, guys. Those mean so much to us. Believe me, we take every one of those so seriously. When you encourage us and you thank us, it just is such a blessing to us. And we just reflect that right back to God in praise. But this show is having such an impact, and there are all these little comments that just keep coming in, like, you know, oh, I'm doing more evangelism to my family now that's out in lost in Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Roman Catholicism, or even people saying things like we're starting a little huddle going out to the abortion mills from our church. It's just spectacular. I mean, just the work of a Apologia Church is really what you're getting here. And so you're kind of like walking through this with us as we even started the abortion ministry at Apologia Church only a few months ago. We were new to this. Like, what's that going to look like? And in the last, I'd say 2 months or whatever, we've had like over 10 babies saved. So you're getting to walk through that with us, and then you're getting inspired by it. So you're doing it yourselves. So with that, you should know we're doing a drive right now for all of our listeners and fans, followers of the show that are being blessed by the ministry here at Apologia Radio. We're doing a fundraising thing where you can join with us to really be a part of this ministry. You can actually join this ministry, be a part of it. And that is, we're trying to get 100 of our listeners, supporters, followers to join with us to give a $50 a month donation to help increase the efficiency, the impact, the work of Apologia Radio. And so what you can do is you can go to apologiaradio.com. Go to apologiaradio.com. There is a link there where you can just sign up. It's super easy, super simple. And if you sign up to be one of the 100 followers and fans of this show, to be co-laborers with us for the $50 a month donation, you not only are going to be a part of this ministry with us, and that's the truth, but you will also get a free t-shirt that is exclusive for only our supporters of the show.
Yes.
That Luke made.
Correct.
And he's a genius with the graphics.
Correct.
So if you would, go to apologiaradio.com, sign up. We have till June 10th. That's our deadline, June 10th. And I know, listen, you're listening to the show, you're like, oh, the show's great. It really benefits me, and I love to listen to it. I love to share it. Can I just tell you, you can actually join with us. And I mean that sincerely. We see this as our ministry team, our launch team for Apologia Radio. It's a relatively new show. And it's having a huge impact on the culture, Christians around the world. You can join with us. Please do so. Go to apologiaradio.com, and we will be forever grateful. I want to do one conversation that I didn't share with Luke and Joy, and that has to do...
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
Something with... You want to say it again?
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
There's an excellent article just put up by Douglas Wilson. I'm going to read to you something about that I thought was great for a Christian pastor to mention. He says, it is way too soon to begin referring to the Obama regime as scandal ridden. But what does this mean? I was amazed at Obama's first election, amazed that more people didn't see through him. His gauzy promises, his tip-tilted nose, his serene arrogance were all a sight for the prescient, gobsmacked to behold. And when I was amazed again at his reelection, but this time, I was amazed that the electorate hadn't seen him. Now, it was not a matter of seeing through him. It was simply a matter of seeing him. He had a record now. He had actually done stuff. Lots of people could see it. And they kept saying to the others, can you see it now? And the answer came back, no, no, no. Call it a continent-wide Huxtable presidency wish fulfillment syndrome.
That's awesome.
Oh, Wilson. But the American people, bless their hearts, are now starting to see the big E on the eye chart. Of course, our collective nose is almost touching the big E on that chart. But we can at least see it now. The doctor has been most encouraging. We have the AP scandal. We have the James Rosen scandal. We have the IRS scandal. We have the Benghazi scandal. We have reports waiting in the wings that these scandals are now are going to be much deeper. And that's a couple more volcanoes may erupt at any time now. And the reason we now have these scandals functioning as real scandals is that the mainstream media, fully complicit in helping maintain a purblind populace the last 4 years, has, by some act of God, awakened. This doesn't make them virtuous, but it does make them interesting. I thought that was a really good commentary by Douglas Wilson on this presidency. Listen, this show and Christians, this is my heart on this. You shouldn't say, I'm right wing, I'm Republican, I'm this, I'm that. You really should just say, hey, I'm a believer and I'm part of the kingdom of God and a culture. And I want to see change from the bottom all the way up. And we should be able to confront these things in our culture like Douglas Wilson does there. I really love that and appreciate that. ApologiaRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Minus three, two.
The baptizer, drawing the mass like a moth with that fire, calling an appetizer raw. That type to call them cats, vipers, dodge the wrath like the car. Mad hyper calm, I'm trying to rock that. Truth in your stereo when I get a hot track. Suitable scenario, then I want
to
jet rap.
When I listen to Christian hip hop like this, it makes me want to just continue with my dream of being a Christian hip hop artist.
You have a dream of that?
Well, you can't see it? You can't see it? My family can see it. They tell me all the time, Dad, you should be a hip-hop artist. Like, what? I know.
Yeah, I doubt they
stop, stop. I'm so busy already.
I know. I'm just trying to sacrifice, lay it down for the Lord. I just can't. I gotta, some things you got to give up. Yeah. Baby boo. Baby boo.
Now he's gone from baby to baby boo.
All right. So, hey, let's get right into the episode with some important theological talk. You'll notice as we do this show, Apologia Radio, for all of you guys that are fans, you know this. But for those of you guys that are new and listening to us, there are elements to this show. We've greatly desired to have a show that is relevant and fun, and relevant in the sense that it actually addresses cultural issues in a biblical way, that we're not pretending. We want to be real. We don't like the Christian radio broadcaster. Hey, guys. Hey, welcome back. Like, we don't want to. We want to be real. And so you'll catch that. We'll also have a lot of times where we have just a lot of fun. We want to have it to be an exciting show. But we do talk about deep theological issues that are very important. So you'll catch us going from one moment we're doing prank phone calls to the next moment we're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. And this is one of those moments where we're going to deal with some pretty heavy stuff. And so I'll just go ahead and just play a clip, a news clip from something that happened earlier this week, the Oklahoma City tornado, tragic events. I want to just play a quick news clip,
bring
you into it.
Oklahoma communities in shambles, neighborhoods leveled, hospitals go into crisis mode as tornadoes take aim at classrooms.
The blackboard's still up. Oh, my gosh.
The widespread damage and incredible disbelief.
We saw the circulation and went and hid underneath the closet, underneath the stairs.
The human toll, the frantic search for those missing, as a storm zone faces more danger today. It's Tuesday, May 21st.
From ABC News, this is World News Now.
So, if you live under a rock, you haven't heard this, but tornadoes hitting Oklahoma and parts north and south, tragedy. Dozens of people killed in this tragedy, including children. I mean, it just, there's things I've read online about these parents that have lost their children is tremendous, and I can't even imagine. And all I can do is I just pray God spares me from something like this, because I can't even imagine what it must be like to be a parent right now feeling what they feel. But this raises all kinds of questions. You know, when events like this happen, and they happen all the time in our world, the response of the world, the unbelieving world, is, where is your God? Right? That's the response of the unbelieving world. Okay, where is your God in this tragedy? And that is the most common thing that happens, whether it's a school shooting, whether it's a financial tragedy, whether it's some just gruesome crime that's committed somewhere in our neighborhoods. The question arises with the unbeliever first, where's your God? But I want to say that the question also arises in our own minds as Christians. Don't pretend that it doesn't. Of course it does. Where's God? Where's God in this tragedy? Where's God when I lose my loved one? Where's God when I have a financial collapse? Where's God when I get the call from the doctor's office that it's cancer? That question has to cross your mind. So I want to say, as Christians, there has to be a way to confront this in a way that's glorifying to God and makes sense to us. You want to have your questions answered. The Christian worldview doesn't at all encourage the idea of just burying your head in the sand and not asking questions. I think God wants you to ask those questions, the deep questions, the important questions. And there's no more important question to have an answer to as a Christian than the issue of suffering and tragedy and loss in the world. So how do we answer this? First and foremost, I want to say this. The very first thing you must do when you think about tragedy is you have to approach this issue with your feet firmly planted on something that makes sense, and that's only the word of God. Right. You know, I was a chaplain for many years at a hospital. I heard the worst of the worst all the time. And the first thing I always do is I just sit there, and sometimes I cry with the person. I sit there and let the tears fall. I listen to their story, and I try to hurt with them. But when they start asking for answers and they legitimately are in a place to actually receive them, that's when I say, listen, if you don't start with God here, if God isn't sovereign over all of this, if God isn't who he says that he is, then there's no pain here. There's no suffering. There's no tragedy. There's just what is.
Right.
The very first thing we have to do when we approach Oklahoma is, obviously, we need to have our hearts break and bleed for the people who are affected by this tragedy. We need to hurt along with them, and you have a right as a Christian to do so, okay? But I want to say, if you're asking questions about the tragedy, know this. The emotional response that comes from a tragedy like this is philosophically absurd and inconsistent. When the atheist comes to you and says, "Where's your God in Oklahoma? Where's your God when a tornado tears through a schoolhouse and flattens it and destroys the lives of little children? Where's your God when that happens?" The very first thing you must do in an apologetic situation, when this is brought to you as an emotional appeal, is go to the unbeliever and you say to them, "Without my God, this is not tragedy. Without my God, this is just the scattering of protoplasm. Without my God, this is the flattening of matter." Whether or not that matter was a structure covering the kids, or whether or not it was kids underneath the structure, it was a flattening of matter. If you don't start with, "My God, there is no tragedy here, there is no suffering, there is only what is." As a Christian, you have to come to this issue with your intellect engaged and your emotion. Hurt with them, but also don't allow the unbeliever to use this tragedy against your God. Because if you don't have God, this is not a tragedy. But you see, if you have God and if you start with him, you can embrace tragedy as real tragedy. And then you can provide an answer as a Christian. Number one, you can say, "The God that I worship gives me a foundation to call this suffering, to call it tragedy, to call it pain, to call it hurt, to call it loss, and I can embrace it with God. Those are image bearers of God, and they had meaning and value and purpose and dignity, and it hurts when they die." But the next thing is to approach it and saying this, that the God that I worship is the God that is not far off. He is the God that actually entered into this world of tragedy and shame and pain and suffering. These rebels, us, all of humanity, rebels against the king, running away from this God in rebellion, he chases them down. He condescends and embraces the darkness they live in to die a death his people deserve. And along the way, there isn't a thing that Jesus approached, experienced, that you can even really ultimately begin to understand. When God becomes man and he experiences all of our suffering and shame on that cross, it wasn't just that. It was years of his life living among us. He experienced death and tragedy and loss all around him. He knew what it was like to weep with friends going to the tomb of a dead man. He knows that pain. Jesus experienced everything you can throw at him. You want to talk about loss? Who understands loss more than Jesus? You want to talk about suffering? Who understands suffering more than Jesus? You want to talk about death? Who understands death more than Jesus? You want to talk about physical abuse and assault, and you want to talk about lies and deception? Who understands that more than Jesus? The God that I'm talking about enters into this suffering and this brokenness of this fallen, rebellious world, and he engages our suffering. That's the God that we're talking about. He can meet you in that pain. Christians have an answer for this as a foundation, and we have an answer for this emotionally. We've got the God that into this world condescended, and he tastes our suffering. He sympathizes with your weaknesses. He walks with you. He knows your pain, and you can come to him, and he meets you in it. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Apologia Radio. How sweet the gospel. Hit us up at apologiaradio.com. You can also get us at our Facebook page. Like it and share it with your friends. Listen, if you go to apologiaradio.com, you can sign up right now for it to be one of our supporters. We're looking for 100 supporters at $50 a month to increase the impact of Apologia Radio as a ministry. And we'd love for you to join with us. But also, if you go to apologiaradio.com, you can go to the little blog there or to the podcast. Click on the link, and you're going to get all the episodes we have in our past. You can do it on iTunes, but also just right there from the page. And then you can share them by hitting the Facebook or the Twitter button or whatever. and you can share it. Let people know about us. So we're excited to be with you guys in this movement to get the gospel around the world, to get the biblical worldview into the culture, and to answer some of the toughest questions that come against the Christian worldview. So we were just talking about the Oklahoma tragedy, dozens and dozens killed, and it is a tragedy, and we can say it was a tragedy because we're Christians. Remember this, guys, we take it for granted all the time. We just do as Christians. We take it for granted that people on the news and all over the world will call this tragedy in Oklahoma. But understand this, only the biblical worldview gives you a basis to call anything a tragedy. Only the biblical worldview gives you a basis to call anything suffering or pain or off in any way. But only the biblical worldview has an answer, a glorious answer and response. So Luke, you had a clip you wanted to play.
Yeah, I was just going to. Right on cue, Mr. Pat Robertson always has some stupid comment to say in situations like this. And so he said something yesterday. I'm going to play the clip real quick. It's just, we're talking about, you know, our biblical foundation is God sovereign or is he not sovereign? And you're going to find out from this clip, even someone that's a professing believer doesn't have a very sovereign view of God's sovereignty. So here's the clip.
This is Don from Illinois who wants to know, why did God send the tornadoes?
God didn't send tornadoes. God set up a world in which certain currents interfere and interact with other currents. When you have a warm group of air coming out of the south, coming up against a cold mass that's up in the north, mm-hmm. you'll get vortexes, and that in turn will spawn tornadoes. God doesn't send tornadoes to hurt people. He doesn't send, you know, we call them acts of God, but they're not. All I can say is that why do you build houses in a place where tornadoes are apt to happen?
Yeah. Well, and this year, of course, the weather patterns, the warm winter and the warm, you know, early part of the year that we're having seems to affect all of that. But I think the bigger question for people spiritually is always not so much why did God send them, but why didn't he intervene? You know, you think people always ask that question
when
there's tragedy?
If enough people were praying, he would intervene. You could pray. Jesus stilled the storm. You could still storms. But, you know, the hurricane, for example, is a release mechanism that God set in to take the heat out of this world and to transfer heat around various parts of the globe. It's very necessary. The fact that people decide they want to build houses on the edge of an ocean, it's their fault. It's not God's. You know, it's the same thing with if you're going to build a house in the San Andreas Fault. You know there's going to be a fault. You know the earth is faulted, and there are going to be earthquakes. So yeah. don't blame God for doing something foolish.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, this is one of the most important elements to bring up about this. Look, if we don't get our belief about the world from Scripture, we are in bad, bad shape.
Yeah.
This man is approaching this whole issue from a man-centered tradition or philosophy. He said that God didn't send the tornadoes. God didn't send the tornadoes. He had nothing to do with that. It's sort of like, it's almost like a deist idea. He created the world and it has sort of its physical laws and functions. And so it just sort of like happened with hot air and cold air and everything else. He didn't do anything. It's like a deist view of God. Do you understand that? That at that point, his worldview then is deism.
Right.
It's not Christianity or Christian theism. God didn't have anything to do with this. Then there's no purpose. There's no meaning. How do we say that God causes all things to work together for good? If God had nothing to do with a tornado in Oklahoma, how do we say that God causes all things to work together for good?
Right.
And how do we answer verses in Isaiah 45:7 where God says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Now you gotta come to a place as a Christian where you gotta say, now that's the God that I worship or it's not. Do you hear that? That's the God that we worship, or he's not. He says he is the one that makes well-being and creates calamity. And you might say, well, that's not fair. And I got to ask a deeper question. The question is about grace, not about what is fair. What is God doing being good to any evil person, any moment of our lives? Every moment of our life is grace. And this is the sovereign God who's in charge of everything. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Getting at you from 1360 KPXQ Faith Talk. Phoenix, Arizona, where it's heating up, getting hot in here.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It feels good in here today, though.
Yeah, it does, but it's probably just like...
We got the windows closed in here right now, though.
Because in contrast how it feels outside.
Yeah, we're just keeping the windows. Nice. Block that sun
you
out.
You mean the blinds?
The sun in Arizona feels like it's like on you. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, like when you come to Arizona in the summertime, sometimes you walk outside, it's like the sun like grabs a hold of your face and it's like...
You like look over your shoulder and it's like the sun's just right there. Yep, doing that.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. One time I was like middle of summer, it's like 125 degrees outside. I passed by Satan. He was like on a curb outside of 7-Eleven. He was apparently wearing like a pair of red tight shorts. He had no shirt on. He was drinking a Gatorade, just wiping sweat from his brow. It was hot outside. Hey,
are you saying that Satan would drink Gatorade?
Yeah, stay away from Gatorade.
Is that an endorsement? Is that a non-endorsement?
All right, so we're back on Apologia Radio. Got a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. Get into some prank calls a little later on. But let's talk a little more. You guys get a chance to fill in now. I did a lot of talking on the Oklahoma stuff. So I don't know. Joy, Luke, what interests you about what either Pat Robertson said, or what do you think is something we need to speak into the culture about the issue of tragedy and suffering in the world? Like, what do we say to this? What do you think are important things to highlight?
Well, I was just thinking, we talked about on the break, just you know, talking about God's sovereignty. Like, so Pat Robertson basically is saying, well, God's not really sovereign over the tornadoes. You know, he created this mechanism. And so he's just kind of sitting back, chilling, watching the tornadoes go by. And, and you guys are dumb-dumbs for building a house where there might be a tornado. And, you know, if you would have prayed more, God maybe would have stopped the tornadoes. So he's not really sovereign over them. But if you pray hard enough, maybe he will stop them.
Now, what is it?
He's a reactionary God.
Yeah.
He just, like, set the world into motion. And, like, when something bad is happening, he might step in. Mm. Also, where can you build your house where nothing bad is ever going to happen?
Right. And also, is God sovereign over where you build your house?
Seriously.
Mm.
Right.
Let's just admit it here, okay? Man, if we could just have a fraction of the donations that go into that, you know, television show, I can't even imagine the impact, but God is sovereign even over that. Mm-hmm. But the view of God that Pat Robertson has here is just not from Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's not much different from any other pagan view of God.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea that sort of I can manipulate the God by certain prayers that I pray, certain sacrifices that I offer in some sense. And so that's paganism, right?
Yeah.
Or the idea that the gods are not really fully in control of all details. There's other factors going on. Either the god is somehow dependent upon the universe himself, or he can't control all things. He's not really all-knowing in that sense, doesn't decree what happens. But you see, the biblical view of God is something very different. God not only knows all things, but his knowledge is wrapped up in his actual decree. In other words, he doesn't know all things because he figures it out. He doesn't take in any knowledge. Let's take that one point. If we say that God knows all things because he looks through time to see what'll happen, then that means that you have a God that actually takes knowledge in and is learning, right? So mm-hmm. he's not all-knowing. Now, that's not the God of Scripture, is it? I mean, it's just not. That's not the God of Scripture. And so we got to look at that point. Also, the fact that the Bible says all throughout and everywhere, it says that he does according to his will. In the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stay his hand or say, what have you done? Now, notice that we like at times as Christians, we like to say, yeah, God is sovereign over the stuff that happens out there. Like in heaven, that's like his throne room. Like he's sovereign over that deal. Like he's in charge there, right? Things happen according to his will there. But notice what the Bible says. It's not just among the inhabitants of or the host of heaven, but among the inhabitants of the earth. And the Bible says very clearly that he works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, let me just ask you a question, Pat Robertson. Is the tornado that came through Oklahoma and the other states recently, is that part of the all things that are working after the counsel of his will? I have to ask that question. Because you see, the God that Pat Robertson goes in the air and talks about is not really the same God that I'm talking about. Now, I don't know anything about the man's heart. I don't know about his faith in Jesus. I don't know. I'm just saying that the way he talks about God and professes to be the God of the Bible, it's just not the God that I believe in. Right. I don't believe God's like that. Well, I believe that God declares the end from the beginning. And then I believe that God, ready, was in charge of the tornado coming through Oklahoma. And that's why I can say that God had purpose in it. The question people want to ask, well, why do these evil things happen? That's not the question to ask. You got to ask the real question is the why does any good thing happen? Not a why. The why do bad things happen is an obvious answer. We live in a fallen world. We're all sinners. Bad things happen in this world because we're all sinners and we're fallen. The question is not why does any bad thing happen, but why do any good things happen, Joy?
Right. Well, and I was going to say there lies the danger of straying away from the Bible as your basis for things.
Right.
We would say that the secular community says, why do bad things happen to good people? That's like a little soundbite that they throw out.
Right.
But if you're straying from the Bible as the center of your knowledge, you're going to find yourself employing those same soundbites, but the Christian ones.
Right.
Those little answers like he just gave that are just the answers that we give because we kind of feel like they answer the question, but they also make everybody feel good. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right,
you're going to end up exactly where they're at.
Right. And it's almost like, Joy, we think as Christians sometimes that if we can just protect God's reputation in this sense that like we're going to do some good. So this is sort of an attempt at protecting God's reputation amongst the unbelievers. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he didn't have anything to do with that. Like he's not that kind of God.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that it actually puts us in a place where we are philosophically inconsistent and ultimately not helpful, not even to a small degree.
Yeah.
What I mean is that if I say that God has nothing to do with this tragedy, he just set the earth off spinning in motion and these are just physical laws that happen. And shame on you for building your house on the edge of a cliff in California.
Yeah.
You know, if I say that, then ultimately what I'm doing is indicting God because I'm saying God created the universe and he is impotent to do anything about this. Notice, see what happened?
Yeah.
I just tried to protect God and what I ended up doing is indicting God as impotent.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Well, I forget who says it, but I heard a sermon somewhere. I think it might have been John Piper who talked about, he was talking about how we're not supposed to be like mirrors of God. We're supposed to be a window through which people see God.
Oh, that's good.
Because the mirror... Mm. If you think about what a mirror does, which I think we can all easily think about that, is it just reflects exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that reflects all of our sin because we're human and we're imperfect. So if you're trying to be a mirror for God, he's going to end up looking like you every time.
Wow. That's very good.
But what it should be is that someone looks through you and through your life, as it were, and they see God.
Mm.
Despite sin or whatever.
That's good. Hmm. That's very good. Wow, that's good. Piper said that?
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
We'll have to figure that one out. That's good. So I want to address this because, you see, when I address this issue, look, I'm not spectacular. I'm not even special, okay? I hope that people forget my name and they remember only Jesus for good, okay? But I want to say this. Like, I have a lot of experience in this area. Like, I mean, I sat down for a period of about 4 years. I have lots of counseling face-to-face with people in tragedy situations. But for 4 years, I was, like, face-to-face with people like five times a day plus group sessions of counseling with the worst of the worst of the worst. So I've seen tragedy. I've tasted this for years. My life was just daily just absorbed in tragedy and brokenness. So this isn't like a small thing for me, like I'm being flippant about it. I'm saying that if we don't have a biblical view of God and his sovereignty, that we end up indicting God as impotent and we end up offering no help and no hope to anybody at all.
Right.
Because if I say, again, like Pat Robertson, God had nothing to do with this, that means that it was without purpose. It means that God is impotent. It means that God isn't all powerful. It means that God can be thwarted. The God that I believe in works in a fallen world with total sovereignty and reigning. It means that he controls every detail, including tornadoes that come through and take down entire towns. Mm. And when Jesus is asked, by the way, about this Tower of Siloam and how it fell and people all died, Jesus didn't say something like, well, God had nothing to do with that. He said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Mm.
That's something to consider. He talks about a tragedy like that. And he says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You see, God, why don't we just get back to what God says about himself instead of trying to somehow protect God's reputation? You're gonna actually show people that there is hope when you say to a person, listen, this is the God that I'm talking about, that despite our sin, despite our rebellion, despite this world that we just have just run away from God and we hate on God, he penetrates the darkness, walks among us, and not only does he suffer and die for people who are absolutely unworthy of it and are incapable of coming to him, but he actually tastes our suffering along the way. Mm. Some people used to say to me all the time, Joy, they would say, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm homeless. When I get out of this hospital, I'm homeless. You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to say, Jesus meets you in that pain. You're talking about the God that became a man who was homeless.
Yeah.
You're talking about the God that was poor. I mean, we talk about Jesus, you know, feeding the 5,000. We go, that's an amazing miracle. He fed fish and loaves, and how powerful was that? The truth is if you thought behind that story, the reason Jesus had to do a miracle with the fish and the loaves is because they didn't have enough money in the ministry to feed these people. So here's this ministry. Right. They don't have any bowling alleys or cotton candy machines or huge auditoriums like some of these churches have. No Starbucks, no cafes, no Disneyland youth centers. Forgive me. But Jesus, the Lord of glory, when God becomes man, he has to perform miracles just to feed his followers. Why? Because he's poor. Guy wants to follow Jesus. You know, I want to follow you. Jesus says, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We're talking about the God who is absorbed in poverty. And how about the fact that physical abuse? I've dealt with people who are survivors of abortion and physical trauma. And, you know, I cry with them. First of all, it's just, I want to say, you got to start with God to even make sense of the suffering. Then I want to say, listen, you're talking about the God that knows more about physical assault and suffering and abuse than any of us will ever taste. That's the God we're talking about. And we're talking about the God that decrees the end from the beginning and all the things that happen in this world so that you can say to a person who's experienced the worst of tragedies, who's in Christ, that God causes all things to work together for good, even the loss of your daughter, even the loss of your son. It has purpose and meaning. God was not thwarted here. You're talking about the God you can come to who meets you in this pain, who knows what it's like to sit at the bed of a dead little girl. Jesus knows what that tastes like. He knows what it's like to lose a friend and have him in the grave and have the family just absolutely weeping over this. And don't forget that the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. God right. becomes man and he weeps over this pain. But you're talking about the God who actually even causes the most horrific crime committed by our hands in history, the murder of the Son of God, the righteous one on the tree. He says that God predestined that. He foreordained it. All right, guys. More commentary.
Amen. That's my final commentary.
That's your final commentary? Well, if I can, just fill in for another moment here. The next layer, so I tried to layer it in three ways. Number one is talking about the fact that without God, you can't call this suffering. With God, you can. Okay. The second thing is to talk about the God that meets you in this pain. What has Jesus experienced? Who is he? What's our high priest like? What's the one that intercedes for us like? Well, the one that intercedes for us knows exactly what you're going through. You want to talk about the fact that you struggle with loss or abandonment or betrayal in some way? You're talking about the God that actually understands all of those circumstances. Everybody around him, including people who are closest to him, either abandons him or and then to come back later, or they're inconsistent with him in some way, or they lie, or this is the life Jesus lives, which just absolutely codifies what it's like to be in a fallen world. Jesus experiences the whole gamut, the whole spectrum, and he's your high priest, and he meets you in that pain. But I want to say that you have to think about the next element of this, and that we're talking about Jesus, who is God, who is in control and is the sovereign, so that he causes even Joseph going into slavery to be something that works out for the good of even his brothers who sold him into slavery. Their sin right. ended up working out to be something that brought glory to God and ended up blessing their own lives. Joseph says to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil, God meant it for good. And I want to say this right now. The tragedy in Oklahoma is something that God causes to work out for the good of those who love him. And that is a sure, certain, guaranteed promise. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after these short messages. Get us at apologiaradio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, the ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
I thought it was weird.
No, I was like my special gift to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, like I was like, that song was something I think, I just can think of joys all over that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you would like that.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
It sounds like
I didn't even know we were live.
Yeah.
I was like waiting for some.
My friend, it's actually a song from an Adidas commercial my friend did. And I thought of the song, and I was like, this is something that totally would be like joy.
Oh, okay.
I just thought. I don't know. Is that right? Did they get it right?
Yeah.
I landed on it.
It definitely sounds, I mean, I would guess that it would be Karen O.
I don't know.
Which I'm definitely a fan of. So.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I thought we'd, you know, at least for once make you feel at home.
Yeah.
Something you can like. So we have a phone call. We're going to do prank calls, hopefully, in this episode, on this broadcast. This segment, sorry. But we have a phone call. We have an awkward church moment. James from Seattle. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Good, brother. Well, hey, man. Welcome to the show. How are things in Seattle? Is it rainy? Is it wet?
It is rainy and wet. We had great weather for a couple weeks, and then it's gone back to winter again.
So, yeah?
Sad times.
Right on. Well, hey, dude. So what's your awkward church moment?
So this is back from England. So there's a church meeting, and there are lots of people praying about things. And one woman stands up and says, "Well, these are hard times, but as the Bible says, when God closes a window, he opens a door." And the pastor said, no, that is from The Sound of Music.
That's awesome.
That's very good, brother. Hey, James.
Yes.
Aren't you the guy with all the, don't you have like a crazy voice? Can't you do like crazy voices?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I guess.
You want to do a crazy voice for us right now? You want to do some, I put you on the spot right now since you called in.
Okay. Let me think. I need something echoey so I can.
Is the voice you're doing right now your crazy voice? You're only pretending to have a British accent.
This is my kind of British/Mid-Atlantic accent. I can't do Catholic Darth Vader right. I can try.
Okay, Catholic Darth Vader.
Your mix of pop culture and apologetics is insignificant compared to the power of the Catholic Church.
That's good.
Nice.
You got any more?
Well done.
You
are part of the Reformation and a traitor.
Nice. That's very good, dude. Hey, James. Dude, thanks for the story, man.
That's awesome.
Enjoy.
Can I ask a quick pastoral question that probably only you guys are going to be able to answer?
Okay.
So, I'm 23. I've been married for a year. My first son is due in August, and I'm also trying to grow my first beard. And what if I can't do it?
Oh.
Well, then.
Okay, so I missed the last part there. Say that again.
He's trying to grow his first beard.
Are you trying to grow his first beard?
Uh-huh. He's afraid if he can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And what if I'm a dad and can't grow a beard? What do I do?
How old are you?
23.
23? Dude, man, I don't have much pastoral advice for you.
Jeff couldn't grow a beard until he was 30.
No, he's not joking. Like 30 years old, all of a sudden, James, at 30 years old, it just popped out. Like it was just this furry, amazing thing just started just happening on my face. And before that, it wouldn't happen. And so I'm just going to say, you know, for now, you know, just go with the fact that you look like a baby. just accept the fact that people will think that you're preteen, you know. And
my only advice, James, is pick out a good color for your spiritual fanny pack.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you know what? God is sovereign, even in the face of these hard times.
Pun intended. All right, Brother James. Thank you, man. Hey, dude. Okay, thanks for listening. Share us with your friends, brother. God bless you.
I will. Bye.
All right, so that was good. That was a good, funny, awkward church moment.
That was good.
I'm sure there's lots more you guys have. Hey, if you guys want to do that, either send them to us via Facebook and let us know what your awkward church moments are, or like next time we have a show, be prepared to call in with an awkward church moment. So are you ready, Joy?
I guess so.
Are you ready to do this? Jeremy, you ready?
Mm-hmm. She's going
to know. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right, so here's the deal. Joy has to try. You got to go fast, though, because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Joy's going to try to call a Christian bookstore. She's going to try to get through all of the questions. Whoever gets the most questions wins, okay, without getting caught, found out, or hung up on, or whatever. Okay, here we go. Let's do it. All right. Joy, it's you. You're up. You're going to lose.
Yeah, right. You're going to lose. He said that last time.
Hey, may I help you?
Hi there. I am calling in. I'm wondering if you guys have a few products that I'm looking for.
Can I put you on hold just 1 second? I'll get someone to help you with that.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, we got the hold button.
I can't really...
What was the store name?
What? That's like a weird... Like, welcome to Fava Beans and Christian Books.
Thank you so much for holding. My name's Carl. What can we help you find today?
Hi there. I'm actually recently became a believer, and I'm just looking for a few materials that were recommended to me.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. The first thing I'm looking for is the Prairie Muffin Guide to Homeschool Woodpecking.
Wow.
I found a lot of these online. And so I'm not really sure exactly where I can get them other than online, but I figured it'd be easier if I could go into a store and get them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you just like maybe off the top of your head, if you could just tell me if you have these items or not, then I'll know to come to your store or then I'll just go online.
I'm looking up these things in the computer to see whether or not I have them in stock.
Okay.
The Prairie Muffin. I mean, I tried several different combinations on that while we were
okay.
Talking.
So nothing on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So is it okay if I give you the next one?
Oh, please do.
Okay. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. Cripster Hipstions.
Cripster
Hipstions. Hey, let's try something new. And it's by Rob Bell. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, yes. I've definitely heard of Rob Bell.
Okay. You know what? I may have even written that one down wrong, so I'm going to go to the next thing.
Okay.
Okay. Internet Thuggery, A Guide to Internet Apologetics. Anything like that?
I'm checking here. Nothing with thuggery at all.
Okay, all right. How about Beards, Bugs, and Furry Boots, Biblical Prophetry by John the Presbyterian? I'm guessing that's his stage name.
Nothing with the keywords beards or bugs.
Okay, well, that's a shame. Beards are pretty cool.
Yeah, I love beards. I've got a beard.
Oh, and very nice. Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Okay, the next thing is Submit Already, An Ex-Feminist Comes Clean. That's something I'm really interested in as a woman.
Yeah. That does not look like
comfort. Oh, nothing? Jeez, I'm not having very good luck.
Man, we're striking out.
Yeah. Okay, Big Ed's Be Quiet, I'm Starving, Biblical Recipes for the Famished. I don't know if you guys have like a recipe section or anything like that. I just figured I'd try.
It doesn't look like I've got that. I do have kind of a recipe area.
Oh, okay.
I've got a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of recipe books.
So I could just come in and take a look?
Oh, by all means.
Okay. Oh, well, I have another. I have Holy Cannoli, A Christian's Guide to Biblical Delicacies.
Wow. You've got some really cool sounding.
I know. You can find anything on the internet, right?
Yeah. You know, maybe I'm spelling cannoli. I don't see that one either.
Okay. And this one, this is more of like a backtracking a little bit, but it's 100 irrefutable proofs that Jesus will return in 2010. And I kind of just want to pick it apart and see where they went wrong, because obviously I don't think he came back. I might have missed it.
Seems like Jesus was all about refuting him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that one either.
Okay. All right.
Here's what I would recommend, though. I have a section that has a whole lot of apologetics books, and some of them I highly recommend.
Okay.
Like More Than a Carpenter, Know What You Believe and Know Why You Believe by
Paul
Little.
Well, I came to Christ through a presuppositional apologetics, so that's what I'm all about.
Okay.
Well, the next thing I have, this is actually for my sister. She's a little bit older than me, and she loves Cyndi Lauper. She's looking for Time After Time, Cyndi Lauper's Prophecy Study.
I didn't know she did a prophecy study.
That one was a little weird. She actually asked me to look for that one specifically.
I don't seem to have it, but I'm excited to know that it exists.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out. Like I said, that one I'm not totally sure about. She told me all about that one. I didn't see that one on the internet.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, I just have one last one
to
ask you about. It's called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, A Book of Magical and Powerful Phrases for the Word of Faith Movement.
Oh,
I have
man.
Some family that's all into that whole Word of Faith movement.
Same thing. Nothing with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? That's all I've got. So I'm just going to go online and find it. But thank you for all your time. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.
Oh, no, again!
You're the ninja,
again!
Dude.
Seriously.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you just check out emotionally? You're just like, you have no emotions whatsoever? Mm-hmm. Nothing?
Yep.
I'm like over here doing little dances.
Yeah, he's like, not fair, by the way.
I'm over here doing little fire dances. And
well, you know what? I'm a girl, so I'm supposed to be the most emotional.
Oh, man.
That was amazing.
Just total, she's like stone cold in her face and the thing. She's just like normal. Like,
and I'm friends with that guy now.
Yeah. No, totally. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
That guy bought hook, line, sinker, every one of them.
Every single one. Internet thuggery.
Oh, I'm just glad they know Cyndi Lauper is writing prophecy.
Wow. Well, there you go again. She got 10. So now, like, either we have to tie with her or whatever. And Luke, you're going down. That's all I got to say.
We'll see if you get past, like, 2.
Are you guys ready for this? Stay tuned. This is upsetting. This is genuinely upsetting. How come I can't get you down? I swore. I was like, she's not going to get through the first 2. Prairie Muffin.
That was good. That was a good one.
Prairie Muffin. Holy Cannoli. Bugs, Boots, and... We'll be right back.
Right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Who's that, Luke?
That's our one and only Miss Taylor Adams. She's been in here before.
Yeah, that's right.
This is her new song.
On our worship team at Apologia Church. We got some serious talent.
Yes.
And so we're back. All right, Luke, hand them to me. We're doing right now prank calls, calling Christian bookstores. We haven't done this for a little while. So here's the deal. If you guys are just tuning into the show, we get crazy here. We get crazy. And Joy, you're ridiculous. How did you not lose it at the... Oh, where's the one real fast? Where's the one? Big Ed's, Be Quiet, I'm Starving, Biblical Recipes for the Famished, Submit Already, An Ex-Feminist Comes Clean. I was like, there's no way on this earth that someone's... Beards, bugs, and furry boots. Biblical Prophetry by John the Presbyterian. And you acted like, do you have that book? Ridiculous.
That's right. You got to pretend like it's real.
Okay.
You got to pretend like Cyndi Lauper really
wrote
did that.
Prophecy. Study. All right, so here we go. I'm going to call a Christian bookstore, and I got to get through all of these without laughing, losing it, or losing the person. Whatever. She got 10. I got to get 10. Don't look at my eyes.
Are we allowed to do like this funky dance like
you can
do?
Dance, but you cannot look at my eyes.
I'm putting the mic up so you can't hear me laughing.
It's over. It's over if you look at my eyes.
Bible.
Hi. Hello. I'm sorry. Could you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Jeff, and I'm just calling. I am a pastor, and I have a list of products that I need to come in and pick up. I just wanted to see if you might have them.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you have just a sec? Because there's just a list of just a couple I got to get through. I just want to see if you have them, so I come grab them.
Okay.
All right. How late do you open, by the way?
Until 7.
Okay. So it's N.D. Wilson's comic book series. Teenage Mutant Ninja Children.
Sure, don't have it.
Oh.
Nope.
It's by Wilson.
Yeah, we don't have it.
Okay. Let's see here. It's the next one is L. Charles Pearson's. It's a DVD series. Do you have DVDs there?
Yeah.
On Apologetics. It's called Grizzly Adams. Are We More Than That?
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll go look on that. And what's the other one?
Okay. Let's see.
I'm writing a list.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. So just I'll kind of run through them. You can just maybe even call me back. J. Lynn Temby's book, Spirit Beards and Fanny Packs. It's more like a teen kind of study. It's from what I understand, it's a book mostly for women or womenly men kind of. It's just, we don't have that. Let's see here. Ooh, okay, this one you got to have. It's a popular author. Gary North's book, Ronald Reagan, What Do We Do with a Spiritual Vegetable? Okay. You don't... hello?
It doesn't sound that like we're going to have
Most of these are for youth groups or uh-huh. conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Rob Bell's, this you got to have. Rob Bell's autobiography, it's called Sponge Robism.
Okay.
This one was given to me by a friend, I'm not sure. So yeah, it's one of Rob Bell's newer things. Let's see here.
Okay,
Ronald Donald's book, Perpetual Ham, My Journey from Obese to Obedient, I think this is what he wrote down.
Okay.
You don't have that?
I don't know. I'll have to check on that one, too. Writing all these down.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm wondering, I'm not sure if I'm freaking you out or anything, but these are interesting.
I'm just writing them all down.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so the next one, Jim, it's a famous singer from the 80s and early 90s. I'm not sure if you heard about it. It's a funny name, but he's a Christian now. It's Dudu Brown's new album.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about? The old song. Dudu Brown. You know that song?
No.
You don't know that? That was one of my faves. So it's Dudu Brown's new album. He's a Christian now. It's really based off of a scripture. It's neither hot or cold. I'll spit you out my mouth with an F.
Ooh. No, I know we don't have that one for sure.
Okay. It's maybe a CD section. J.W. Durbin's new book. This is good. This one, I think you have to have it. It's new. It's very popular. If It Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It. It's a reformed guide to God's law.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Okay, I'll check on that one, too.
Okay, and this is a famous Christian, like, heavy metal artist. She's like a prairie muffin-like woman. She does, like, Christian metal, and she, she's all about homeschooling. Very popular, like, with the ladies. Spirit Beards and all. Leah, her name is Leah, L-E-A-H, Leah. It's her new album. It's called Rivendale Riot.
Okay, I know we don't have that one.
Oh, man. I'm just completely just missing the mark here. This one is one that I saw, really old church, like old church. Most of the crowd is like 75, 80 years old. It's a painting of Jesus and a bunch of kids playing Ring Around the Rosie in the...
Yeah.
No? Man.
No, we don't have that one either.
I struck out with every one of these, but that was all I had.
Okay.
Hey, that was, I think that was 10 total things. Wasn't that 10? I think it was 10.
Yeah, because there's the ones that I told you we don't have, I did not write down.
Yeah.
Okay, that, tell me your phone number.
Well, that was 10, and I'd say, have a nice day. Oh. That's 10. That's 10. What's up, Luke Pearson? What's up, Luke Pearson? With the
I'm doomed. I thought for sure Dudu Brown was gonna get.
Yeah, me. Yeah. I was trying. Actually, I got. I have to confess. I took a few lessons on this episode from Joy. I did. I looked over
emotional
at her.
Emotional detachment.
I watched how she did that, and that's what I did.
You know what? He got lucky though too, because.
No such thing as luck. Get your theology right.
That lady actually looking them all up, she's like, oh, I'm just going to write them down, which that makes it considerably easier.
So no. She was emotionally detached.
Yeah. The one dude for you, though, was like looking him up online. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, that's good. Where's that book at? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what if he actually found one?
What if he's
looking it up and he's like, oh, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, a book of magical and powerful phrases for the Word of Faith movement. Yeah, we've got that. It's 1995. Do you want it drop shipped to you? You want to pick it up? Are you ready, Luke?
I can't believe you got through Dudu Brown. I thought I had you on that one.
Okay, so did you notice how she laughed when I said Rob Bell's autobiography, Sponge Robism? Yeah. Uh-huh. She's like,
she knows what's up.
She does. She's like, yeah, Sponge Robism. Or how about Jalen Temby's book, Spirit Beards and Fanny Packs? Gee, like that's for the ladies or the womenly men. Awesome.
Oh my
gosh. Hey, we're going to come back, and Luke Pearson is going to do the same thing.
We probably have to wait till the last segment.
Yeah, though. Probably. He's going to call a Christian bookstore, and he's going to try to see if he can catch up with the Temby and I. We got 10. Joy?
Oh, yeah.
Reach over here and
pound
it. There you go. We just knuckled it across the table right there. So listen, if you're a fan of Apologia Radio, you like the deep theological discussions, hitting the world with the Christian worldview, answering questions, and fanny packs, spirit beards, prank phone calls. Join with us. Let's get this ministry further into the culture, answering questions, bringing the gospel. We say this show is the gospel heard around the world, and we mean it. You can get with us. You can join with us. You can help be a part of the movement by going up to apologiaradio.com. Like us on our Facebook fan page. Please share us with your friends. Grab some episodes. Get them to your friends, to your family, and...
Your brosives.
ApologiaRadio.com. Hit us up.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Welcome back, Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. If you're listening in your radio right now, on your radio, not inside the radio, but if you're if the radio is playing in your vehicle and
crawl
you're listening to
there.
Us all over Arizona, you can go to our page, apologiaradio.com, like it, be a part of this movement as well. Also, maybe you guys should give a look. When it's up, it's coming. It's being built and everything else to realharmony.org. It's our answer into the culture on the issue of homosexual marriage. Let's talk about that. Luke, let's do that. Realharmony.org. What is it? Luke, talk about that. Realharmony.org.
It's a website.
It's a website. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
No, we've been talking, and you know, there's basically a symbol that the culture recognizes that represents homosexual marriage, and that's the equal sign. We see it all over. It's on Facebook. It's on cars. I saw it on a house the other day.
I saw it five times yesterday evening.
Oh, wow.
Going from home to church to back five times.
So we see that everywhere. So, you know, we were talking, and we're like, you know, there's no universal symbol that the church has that recognizes what true biblical harmonious marriage is and what it looks like. And so we've come up with that symbol, and so that's what realharmony.org is. That's the website we're going to have. It's just real basic, real simple, but it's going to have links you know, to show what biblical marriage looks like. It's going to have the gospel for people in homosexual lifestyle. And, yeah, we have a goal of getting this out in the culture. We want to be able to get a million of these out to the culture nationwide, if not worldwide, and just really impact the culture in this area.
So the real issue here is that we want to bring the gospel into the context of the homosexual marriage debate. Yes, there were air quotes there because there is no marriage other than biblical marriage. It's a redefinition. Homosexual marriage is not marriage. And so we want to get the gospel into this issue and not just let it be a political issue. I despise that. We're not getting anywhere with this issue if we don't start with the Bible as our foundation. And we're not really helping anybody if we just simply fight for biblical marriage or traditional marriage just because it's traditional and it's old and it's a conservative value. No, we're bringing the gospel into this. We're saying that God has created male and female for harmonious relationship with one another, to be together in marriage, to two become one, to have children, multiply, fill the earth, take dominion, and to bless their own families, their own society, their kids, all of that. And so we want to bring the gospel into it. So with realharmony.org, what it really is it's really our attempt to be salt to the culture is what it is. And so it's very simple. When the website is up, realharmony.org, what you can do is you can go to it. You're going to see the symbol that Luke created. We talked about how we wanted it to look. He created this perfect symbol to codify biblical harmonious marriage between male and female. And it's really trying to be salt, a preservative to the culture on this issue. And it's also trying to answer the culture on this issue. So whereas when you see all over the landscape, you see the equal sign in the back of cars and in windows, you see it on Facebook profiles, the equal symbol symbolizes to the culture gay marriage. Okay, this is what it means. So hey, listen, if you never paid attention to it before, now you know. I've told you. When you see that around town on bumper stickers and everything else, know this, that's the culture telling you that we want gay marriage. Okay? So what we're trying to do here is bring the gospel into this situation so people understand that it's a gospel issue. When they go to realharmony.org, they're going to have the gospel there for people who are in the homosexual lifestyle and just generally. But also, you can go to realharmony.org and you can actually purchase bumper stickers for yourself, stickers for you, your friends. Buy 10, buy 20, buy 50. And please join with us in a grassroots movement for churches nationwide to get these stickers into the culture. Our goal is 1 million. We cannot do it without you. If you're listening to the show and you're like, I want to get involved, then listen, there's no better way than right now with an active movement right here to get the gospel into the culture on the issue of homosexual marriage. You can do that with us. The way you can do it is you can go to your church, to your pastors, you can let them know what this is all about, and you can encourage them to buy these stickers, buy the boatload, buy the truckload, and to get them out to your churches. The stickers are $3, $3. To be able to speak into the culture, this is biblical harmonious marriage. People can go to the website. They can get the gospel. There's going to be some free resources on the page, videos, debates, lectures, sermons, all that free stuff on the page to be able to get equipped on this issue. We've got to be salt. We've got to be light. You can do that at realharmony.org, guys. You can join with us. Go to realharmony.org, guys. Join with us. Get these stickers. Get them to your friends. Have your church participate. 1 million of these stickers we want across the landscape of the culture to bring the gospel into this issue and not to make it simply a political issue of conservative values. It's a gospel issue, and we want people to come to Christ.
Yeah.
We'll be right back at ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Apologia Radio hitting you up from the Valley of the Sun, baby. Phoenix, Arizona. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Join the movement, guys. And consider prayerfully, guys. We realized there we had like a 6-minute opportunity there to give you a little commercial for realharmony.org. Our attempt to bring the gospel into this issue and not to make it simply a political conservative value issue. That is not what we're about as Christians. It's a gospel issue. We don't want to kind of like slip in the back door like, you know, we really want like this to be an understanding of like a God thing, gospel issue, but like make it a conservative issue. It would disconnect it from scripture. No, we want the gospel into this issue. We want the culture's heart changed, and it can only happen through the gospel. So go to realharmony.org. The site should be up really soon. I think right now that domain name is actually redirecting to apologiaradio.com. So don't get freaked out when you see it do that. Just keep checking back. Realharmony.org. The site's going to be up. Free resources. But get the stickers. Get them for your friends. Buy a bunch of them. Get them to your pastor. Let him know what's going on. For those of you guys that are part of very large churches, like 1 to 5,000, go to your pastor. Let him know what's happening. Have him talk to us. Get this into the hands of your church. 1 million is our goal. 1 million of these stickers in the culture all around to speak into the culture on this issue. Please join with us, realharmony.org. Also, go to our other sponsor, AmericanVision.com. Get some materials, guys. All right, Pastor Luke, are you ready?
Is it just me or did it get really hot in here?
No, look at Luke has already got the pool armpits.
The pool.
The pool armpits.
Pool pits.
Like it just jumped in the pool. Are you ready?
Oh, my goodness.
You're awfully red today.
Yeah, I know. You're all decked out.
Red hat, red shirt.
And Red Wings.
And now your face actually.
Go Wings. It's hockey season.
Now your face.
I got my playoff beard rocking.
You're my playoff beard?
Jeff doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
There's
right
like
now.
a little flag coming out of your beard.
Yeah.
With your team on it.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you for helping us be Christ
in
the world.
Oh, hi. My name is Luke. I'm actually calling from Skeptic Magazine. I know this is kind of a weird request. I'm actually writing an article. I'm interviewing a Christian, and they gave me a list of 10 items to see if you guys had. I'm trying to find to look into for the article. So I was hoping you could help me out and let me know if you guys have those things.
Okay. Just 1 moment, sir. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Listen, yeah, that's right. I came at it from that angle.
All right, what are they?
Oh, sorry. My partner was asking me questions. Okay, here we go. I don't know if you can just write these down or maybe look them up as I'm asking you.
Okay, let's look up as I'm asking you, okay?
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Okay, some of these I can't even believe are real things, but here's the first one. It's called Skin Like Jesus, A Guide to Biblical Dermatology.
Skin Like Jesus?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Again, I'm a skeptic, so I'm looking at these thinking, are these people serious? But I want to make sure this article is legit.
All right, we do not have it in stock.
Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm going to put you on hold just for a second, okay?
Okay.
Just a sec.
This is terrible. This is
me.
Have that in stock. Okay, sorry, okay. Okay, so this next one I believe is by Joel Osteen. I think he's a pretty popular guy. If you could just write these down, just maybe it'll be quicker that way, and then you can let me know.
I've got that computer right in front of me.
Oh,
sir.
Okay.
So if you just tell me the title.
Okay. So again, I think this is by Joel Osteen.
Okay.
It's called Your Best Poop Now.
No, we don't have that.
I don't. Is that a real book?
No.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
No, someone's beating you blind.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Okay. So this next one.
It's Your Best Life Now.
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, maybe I wrote it down wrong. Okay. This next one. I don't even know what this.
Are you for real or what?
Yeah. I'm really sorry about this. I want to make sure I'm writing a good article here. This next one, I don't even know what this is. It says Scum Top. I don't even know. Is that a book? Is that like a movie? What is that? I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
No, we don't have
You know
that
what?
Here.
Maybe I'm getting pranked. This is crazy. But let me get through these. Maybe some of these are real. The next one is called Secret Sprinklings, How to Baptize People Without Them Knowing. Oh, I think I've heard of, don't the LDS, I think I've heard of them doing things like that. Do you have that? You wouldn't be an LDS bookstore,
nope.
Though, would you?
Nope, we don't have that one.
Okay. Okay, next one. I Think My Neighbor is the Antichrist by Elliot Hillis. I've heard of him. Now, this has to be real. And I know I've looked into this. There's a lot of Christians that think different people are the Antichrist. Do you have the author, Elliot Hillis?
I don't have the book.
He's a big guy. I've seen pictures of him.
Okay.
a picture... or a painting of Jesus dunking on Steve Nash?
No, we don't have that.
Okay. Did they even have basketball back then? I must be getting pranked. I'm really sorry, but I just want to make sure these are real. The next one is a Greek vision testing chart. I guess that must be the Koine Greek that was used in the New Testament. Do you have any type of vision charts?
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
We do not.
Okay. Oh, this one. I think I've seen this. And actually, I'm really interested to see this. The exact blueprints of Noah's Ark. The funny thing is, this Christian I'm interviewing, they wrote down Ark. They spelled it wrong. They spelled it like Ark, like ARC, like a half circle.
Wow. Well, why did you choose to interview this guy?
I don't know. This is my boss gave me this. I'm starting to think that this wasn't a good idea.
Okay.
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 The I got two more. Excuse me. A bracelet that says WWJDIZA. I don't know. What would Jesus do if zombies attacked? All right, this is getting out of hand.
Well, we have what would Jesus do, but not the other part.
Yeah, this is crazy. Okay, I have one more. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
Does God Hate Unicorns is the name of the book by Rufus McNerdface? Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? I'm really sorry. I think I've wasted your time. I must have just totally got pranked.
We don't have that book.
I thought I was doing something real here, but I got through all these. That's 10. So I appreciate your help. I'm really sorry for wasting your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's great.
Bam!
So that's a tie.
Bam!
That's a tie. Rufus McNerdface?
No. Joy, these aren't even... What is Scumtop? Like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Scumtop is a real thing.
Does God Hate Unicorns by Rufus McNerdface? And you should have seen it, guys, in the studio.
I almost lost it. I had to gain my composure on that one.
When Luke said that, Joy was turned around the whole time. She spun around and, like, pointed at his face, like, reading the title.
You better read that.
I almost lost it on number 10.
Yeah.
I made
it. Okay, hold on now.
I'm so glad I came at it from that angle, because if I came at it as a Christian, I don't know how I would have done that. That was just absurd.
Secret sprinklings, how to baptize people without them knowing. You almost lost it on that
But
one.
For real, LDS do that. Like,
Scumtop is a real thing.
What is that?
It is a thing at IKEA, and that is its name. It's some sort of food product. I'm not sure.
That would be a food product at IKEA.
That was pretty good,
yeah.
Man. Hey, guess what? So that's a total tie.
Thank goodness.
We have no plans of what to do when we are completely tied.
I know.
Maybe we should just get a picture of us all wearing a fan pants.
Well, now we just have to come up with something different.
Yeah, yeah. We'll figure out.
It's getting too easy.
Yeah, it's getting too easy. We're getting the hang of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so next we should probably maybe call churches.
We got to up it.
And mess with churches.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and there you go. That's what we'll do next. We'll be creating the next big prank. But in the meantime, let's talk some theology. Pastor Luke, what's up?
This studio's a mess. I don't even know.
I threw the papers all over the place. Luke just grabbed
I threw my papers
in
celebration.
Air. Yeah.
I was like, what now? What?
And notice how the boasting happens too. Oh, I think that was 10, right, ma'am? That was 10?
Yeah.
I got it? All right, here we go. So, very good job, Pastor Luke, Joy. We're all the winners today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're all winners.
Yep. Yes.
Always.
That's just how they play all the games with kids today. You're all winners.
There are no losers.
Yeah.
It's the effort
that
counts.
All right, give it to us. What's up? You got an article.
You got an
article, right?
Yeah, I'll see
about things not to say to atheists.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. So a fan of ours sent this to me, and it's just the most ridiculous article I may have ever read. And I'm going to actually see if I can get this lady on. Hopefully she doesn't hear me say that. It's from alternet.org, which I didn't really know what that was.
I just said that on like international radio. Yeah. I hope she doesn't hear me say that.
Yeah.
I hope if we invite her, she doesn't go back and check what you just said.
So I didn't really know anything.
She wouldn't be able to pull it down by podcast.
No.
No.
Nope. Are we recording?
Yeah, okay, we are. Sorry. We're in studio. It's been going the whole time.
Alternate.org. I didn't really know much about it. I looked into it, and they claimed to be a neutral, independent reporting source, but I'm looking at like the reporters and some of their stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't sound very neutral.
No such thing as neutral.
Anyways,
not possible.
I believe this lady, her name is Greta Christina, and I'm assuming she's an atheist. I don't know if she actually comes out and says she's an atheist, but by the tone of the
article, her name?
Greta Christina.
Is she related to Rufus McNerdface?
She may be. McNerdface. So the name of the article is 9 Questions That Atheists Must or Might Find Insulting and the Answers.
given to us.
Okay, so basically, she goes on by saying, like, comparing these questions that Christians might ask atheists to questions you would, like, racist questions that you might ask Hispanic American, like, quote, are you in this country legally? Because we go around asking people that. Or
what?
Or to African Americans, can I touch your hair? So she's comparing these questions to that. Anyways, okay, so, you know.
Well, I got to hear. Now I'm fascinated. Yeah. I want to hear these questions.
So she says that, like, people will ask these questions, like, in the manner of, like, well, I'm just asking. Like, you know, just asking, you know, because we do that. Like, it could be, like, the most absurd, like, rude question. Like, well, I'm just curious. Or just asking, you know. Anyway, so here's, I'm going to read through the 9 questions and we'll just try to discuss as many as we can. First question, how can you be moral without believing in God?
She says you should never ask that question.
Yeah, which isn't really what we ask, but
anyways. Well, I would say how can you justify your morality?
Right, that's what I was going to say. So, yeah. Okay, question 2, how do you have any meaning in your life? Sometimes asked as don't you feel sad or hopeless, or even if you don't believe in God or heaven, why don't you just kill yourself? Oh my gosh. Question 3, doesn't it take just as much or even more faith to be an atheist as it does to be a believer? I've heard that. Question 4, isn't atheism just a religion? Question 5, what's the point of atheist groups? How can you have a community and a movement for something you don't believe in? Question 6, why do you hate God, or aren't you just angry at God? Question 7, but have you read the Bible or some other holy book, heard about some supposed miracle, heard my story about personal religious experience? Any of those? Oh, geez, we got 2 minutes left. Question 8, what if you're wrong? Sometimes asked as, doesn't it make logical sense to believe in God? If you believe and you're wrong, nothing terrible happens. But if you don't believe and you're wrong, you could go to hell. And
that's,
final
that's
question.
The form of Pascal's wager.
Yeah, final question. Why are you atheists so angry? Oh, we don't even have time to get in all these.
She's saying don't ask those questions?
Yeah, well, she basically says you shouldn't ask these questions, and then she gives why, and then she rants on each of them. Here's just something real quick. That in response to how you can be moral without believing in God, she says the answer, atheists are moral for the same reasons believers are moral, because we have compassion and a sense of justice. Humans are social animals, and like other social animals, we evolved with some core moral values wired into our brains, caring about fairness, caring about loyalty, caring when others are harmed.
This is important, by the way. It's a thing you're going to get hit with a lot of times when you approach this issue in the biblical fashion by showing the person they have no basis for morality. Is it going to say, no, but we are moral people? And what thing you need to make sure you express is that the challenge being presented is not that atheists are not moral people. Sometimes they can be very great, grand, amazing, zealous, sweet people. The question is, how, given your rejection of God, do you have any justification or warrant for morality at all? And if they say, because we've evolved as a species to have compassion and everything else, to that you say, that's not a justification. That's telling me an answer of something that is. But it's a random, arbitrary value. We like to help people. You could say just as easily, we've evolved to say we like to hurt people. One, they're both as arbitrary as the other. You have to have a warrant or a justification for morality, and you don't get that without the God of the Bible. So some of those are relevant questions. She just doesn't like to be peppered by them.
Well, and I think the way she worded them is ridiculous, because that's not how we word those questions.
RealHarmony.org, ApologiaRadio.com.